Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been bitterly, bitterly, bitterly cold in Lake Wobegon. It was so cold that they did not do the fire drill up at the high school, and they were supposed to do it. They just rang the alarm, but the kids did not go outside. They sat in their rooms, and they talked about what they would do if there were a fire drill and how they would feel about it, and that seemed to serve the purpose. It was on that bitterly, bitterly cold day this last week that this bus arrived in town, not a school bus, but one of those luxury buses with the seats that recline and the headrest and all these interesting people on it. It pulled slowly into town, and you could see them taking pictures of people from the windows of the bus. Dorothy was just about to close the Chatterbox Cafe, and they all trooped in there, 32 of them. They were interesting people. They were wearing brightly colored ski jackets and ski pants, bright yellow and green and red. And they were not like us. They had beautifully done hair. They had spent a lot of time on their hair. And they wore those little tiny rectangular glasses. And the clothes that they were wearing, you could tell that these were not people who, when they go shopping, are looking for bargains. They're not going to buy anything that's 40% off. These people were going for a look like fashion models. They all trooped into the Chatterbox. And Dorothy said to Darlene, Darlene was just about to go home. Dorothy said to Darlene, don't pass out the menus. We can't do menus. We'll think of something here. She called Ralph down at the grocery and asked him to send over all of the salad stuff, the lettuce and the spinach and the peppers and the cucumber that he had and any tomatoes that he might have, especially little plum tomatoes. And she said, send over 14 pounds of top sirloin. Well, he said, I don't have any sirloin left. Well, all right. All right. The special for the day was macaroni and cheese with cornflakes on top. So that was going to have to be it. She called up Wally up at the sidetrack tap. She said, send me down 2 gallons of red wine and make it snappy. And she walked out there and looked at them all. And Darlene had set out tablecloths on the table. She'd found them somewhere in a closet. They hadn't used these in years. And she set out tablecloths. And they were all sitting down there smiling, looking up at Dorothy. Dorothy said, the entree tonight is pasta alla Romano. They all seemed happy about that. And so Darlene and Dorothy's daughters, who had come on the run, Dorothy called them up. They came out with 32 plates of macaroni and cheese, into which Dorothy had mixed some spinach just for texture and interest. And she had put a little parsley on top. And there were the cornflakes, and she put some Parmesan on it, and she put 6 blueberries on each one. Oh, they were fascinated by this. Blueberries. They never had blueberries with pasta before. Oh, they just thought this was the greatest thing. What are these? They pointed at the cornflakes. She said, those are morels. Those are dried morels. Well, they liked that just fine, and then she followed that with a salad, and they were okay with that. And then she had rice pudding for dessert. She put raisins and chopped almonds on it and some honey. She called it Greek brulee. And then she served cappuccino. It was an instant cappuccino, but they seemed to go for it. They were very friendly people off the bus. They'd been around and seen the town on this bitterly cold day. They were taking pictures of everything. They took pictures of the Mercantile, the Sidetrack Tap, Skoglund's, Five and Dime. They had never seen a dime store before. They were from Miami, Florida. They were on a tour. One woman said she had never seen snow before in her life. The driver had taken them out onto the lake. He drove the bus out on the lake, out into the fish house village out there, and they got out of the bus. And then they saw they were on a lake, and then they sort of moved away from the bus. But it's very cold, so the ice was thick. And then they heard sounds like shotguns going off, the ice cracking, as it always does when it's cold. And then they started to move farther away. They walked across the ice up onto shore. The bus followed them. They got on. They were very cold and yet excited. Their circulation had improved. They were from Miami, and this was a bus tour they had paid money for. They had gone up to a little town called Embarrass, Minnesota, where it was 40 below zero. And they got off the bus and stood out there, and it was like a religious experience. They had no feeling whatsoever. It was like they had left their bodies, and they could hear the brush of angel wings. And it was very emotional. They got back on the bus, and they were weeping. Husbands and wives hugged each other and said, "I love you more than anything in this world. I never told you that before, but I do. They called up their mothers on the phone. It was a big thing for these people. It was emotional. And then after the cappuccino, the driver came into the cafe, and Dorothy saw him, and she recognized him. She knew that she knew him, but she couldn't remember who he was. She said, "You're from here, aren't you?" He said, "No, I'm not, but I was married here, or I was supposed to be married here." Aha! It all came back. 1977. Dulbert. He was in love with the Rasmussen girl, Renee Rasmussen. And she was 28, and she was kind of heavy and not beautiful. Some people said she was handsome, but they were related to her. She hadn't had a date in years, and so she ordered this liquid from an ad in the back of Popular Science magazine. It was a clear, odorless liquid that was laden with pheromones, with the chemicals of attraction between animals, and she put some of it into her perfume and spritzed it behind her ears, and within a week she had Dulbert. She had Dulbert. He was in love with her. He was crazy about her, especially right after she showered. And there are no secrets in a small town. Everybody knew about it. And some people thought maybe she should have paid more for this pheromone solution. She could have gotten somebody better than Dulbert. But there he was. He was in love with her. She was worried, Renee was, about marriage. Her parents had an unhappy marriage. So she went to a psychic, and she asked, "What is the secret of a long and happy marriage?" And the psychic said, "This cannot be predicted, because you can choose this yourself. It's up to you. It's not up to fate. And the best way to make sure that you have a long and happy marriage is the first time you make love, you should do it in a cemetery." Well, it was February, so she had to think this through a little bit. But Dulbert was coming up to Lake Wobegon for the Valentine's Day Sweethearts Dance, and so she thought, well, that would be the night to do this. She looked into a couple of how-to books. They were kind of vague on the essential details, but she thought she could manage this all right. Well, as I say, there are no secrets in a small town. She had told a couple of her friends, and those girls have brothers. And so when Dulbert came to town and he pulled up in front of the Rasmussen house and went in to get Renee, when he came back out of the house, his back two tires were flat. And then there was Donnie Krebsbach, all friendly and smiling and saying, "Here, take my Coupe de Ville. Take it. We'll take care of your car." And Dulbert had been breathing pheromones off of Renee's neck, and he was not really thinking clearly. Donnie was there with six other guys, and they were all kind of poking each other, but he got in the Coupe de Ville, and he drove up to the cemetery, and they parked up there in the dark. It was behind the Angel of Death in the monument to the Grand Army of the Republic. And he was so engrossed with Renee, who was so willing to give herself to him. He did not hear the boys who were creeping up behind the car. You see, they had installed some wiring in the upholstery of the driver's seat. They had put in a wire, and they had wired it also up to the horn and the headlights. And the contact wires came out the back by the rear bumper. And the boys walked up with a car battery waiting. And they waited until the couple had steamed up the windows, and they were doing gymnastics in the front seat. And they put the contact wires onto the posts of the battery, and 1,000 volts came through that seat. And Delbert bounced off the roof, and he came bursting out of the car with his pants at half mast, and the shock, the horn was going off, the lights were flashing. The shock of it all, it had affected his bowels, and he ran around leaking to the little house that was back behind the Angel of Death, and he jumped in there, and the boys came around the back of that outhouse, and they pushed it over onto the door, and out the one hole he came. It was thin, but he made it. In a panic, he got out. It was either that or death, and somehow they got back home. The wedding did not take place in Lake Wobegon. It was supposed to be a big wedding. They canceled it. Instead, they got married at a judge, a justice of the peace, and they moved away, and she wasn't seen after that. Renee. Dorothy said, "How's Renee doing?" "Well," he said, "we're doing just fine. We bought a place on Key Largo, and I own this tour bus company. And I tell you, this Winter Wonderland tour is a real moneymaker. I do these about 15, 20 of them a year, and we can live the rest of the year on it." "Here," he said. He pulled out his billfold, and he showed her a picture of these four teenagers. Here were Mona and David and Samantha and Cynthia, and these four beautiful, dark-haired, brown-eyed children, four beautiful children who came from these two rather ordinary parents. "Well, tell Renee we miss her," said Dorothy. "Oh," he said, "well, okay, I will. She hasn't been up here. She doesn't care for the mosquitoes, doesn't care for tornadoes, doesn't care for winter, so I don't know. She hasn't, in fact, we haven't been back here since our wedding, as a matter of fact." So history comes round full circle, just our job to try and understand it. Spring is on its way, and there are signs of it, even in this cold, cold weather. The bears are starting to deliver their young in the caves out there, and the deer are starting to mate, and those finches are starting to grow bright yellow feathers, which must have something to do with the circle of life. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, all the children are above average.